I'd like to read Luke 2, verses 8 through 14. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." I want to encourage you in this meditation, this Christmas meditation tonight, to make much of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to do this as an ongoing life practice, not simply something done at special times of the year. Christmas celebrations in our society mean many different things to different people. Often Christmas is much more a cultural celebration than a religious one. Some people would say that the true meaning of Christmas has to do with loving others, family, friendships, celebrating the good things in the world. Many would say Christmas is about holiday movies, family get-togethers, Christmas lights, decorations. Whatever your particular traditions, whatever way you celebrate this season, I would like us, for the next few minutes, to think about Jesus Christ and how to make much of him, not only at Christmas time, but all year round. Here is what God's word points to in terms of the recognition of Christ's birth. Here are what we ought to be celebrating. First, we celebrate a historical event. Christmas is looking back on something extraordinary that God did in human history. We're not counting the days until this event happens. It's already happened. We're not waiting for Christmas. We're rejoicing in something God has already done. And it's not simply the birth of a baby. Not even simply the birth of the Messiah, though it is certainly that. We rejoice in the incarnation, when the eternal Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. The Gospel of John says in the first three verses of chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And then in John 1, down at verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." This is the incarnation. The second person of the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Son became a man. Well, at the same time, of course, remaining the eternal Son of God. This is a great mystery. But here's the point. God dwelt among us in human, mortal flesh for a time. As the angel told Joseph in Matthew 1, 22 and 23, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is, as the prophet Isaiah foretold in chapter 9 and verse 6 of his book, "For to us a child is born," that's Jesus' humanity, "to us a son is given," that's his deity, "and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." We celebrate a historical event. God came. He came in the person of the Eternal Son, and he came to show us the glory of God. Secondly, in our celebration, we acknowledge that this event had a very specific purpose. Christ came to show us the glory of God in a very particular way. The Christ, the Messiah, was to be the mediator of what the Bible calls the new covenant. He was to fulfill God's law perfectly, and then in complete obedience to God the Father, in the power of God the Spirit, he was to give his life sacrificially, making atonement for sinners so that they could be saved from the penalty, power, and presence of their sins, in order that they might know God and glorify God and enjoy God forever. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God." In other words, Jesus came to die on the cross for sin in order to save sinful human beings, and that means all of us. This is how the angel put it to Joseph before Christ was born, as recorded in Matthew 1:21. "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Jesus means the Lord saves. We must recognize our great need for this redemption. The world is broken, fallen in sin. And we must recognize that each one of us are part of the brokenness as sinners. We're not the fixer-uppers of this world. Jesus is. He is the only and sufficient Savior, and in his time, he will make all things new. Thus, at Christmas time, we sing, "O Holy Night, long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared." All who receive him by genuine faith have their sins forgiven and are reconciled to God. We celebrate a historical event. God came in the person of the Eternal Son. We acknowledge in this celebration that Jesus came to die on the cross for the sins of the world, and he did indeed do just that. And thirdly, we celebrate the fact that Jesus came to rule in a kingdom of which there will be no end. The angel Gabriel told Mary in Luke 1:33, "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." After death on the cross, Jesus was resurrected bodily from the dead on the third day. He ascended to his place beside the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. There will be resurrection, judgment. Unbelievers will receive just condemnation for their sins and be cast out of his kingdom. And God's people, the saved, will enter into the fullness of his kingdom, a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. Believers, in fact, are told by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1:13 that they should set their hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Set your hope fully on this grace that will come in its fullness when Christ comes again. So let me ask you a question this evening. Is that where your hope is? Is your hope fixed on Jesus Christ? And because of this hope, because you know him, because you're born again, born from above, because he's given you new life, because his spirit indwells you, because of these things, do you make much of him all the year long? Glory, glory to his name. Are you among those upon this earth that rejoice in Christ with a joy that, as Peter called it, is inexpressible? Is that where your hope lies? Whatever your Christmas celebrations include, or whatever your Christmas traditions are, if you are here tonight in unbelief, Scripture makes it clear that apart from Christ, you have no hope of eternal life. Only eternal death and God's place of condemnation is what awaits the unbeliever. And the good news, the wonderful news, the glorious news is Jesus came to save sinners. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He will surely save you if you come by faith to him. The truth is, you cannot save yourself. Your sin condemns you. Come to Christ, and he will save you by grace alone. And to those who know him, if you're here tonight and you say, yes, I know Jesus, may we, those who've been saved by grace, continually, steadfastly, may we walk by faith, rejoicing in Christ, making much of him, exalting him, worshiping him, rejoicing in him all year long, every day, all the time. Let's pray. Father in heaven, to you be all praise, honor, and glory. Thank you for the good news of the gospel. Thank you for grace that abounds to sinners such as us. Help us make much of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And Father, I do pray if there's someone here tonight that it's not a Christian, not a believer, Lord, you might open their eyes, open their hearts, move in their hearts, and show them their need to embrace Christ by faith, turning from their sin, receiving him as their Lord and Savior. Lord, we thank you, praise you for the incarnation, Christ coming, for his death on the cross, his resurrection. Again, to you alone be all praise, honor, and glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.